When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan, 888-808-1019. There is one more thing that I want to get to before we say goodbye, but we're going to take your calls here next. We'll get to that in a little bit. Something that happened in the Met game last night that we have yet to discuss. Back to Soto for now. Actually, before we get back to Soto, let's take a call on Sam Rosen here. Jeff is in Bridgeport, Connecticut. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. You know, I want to talk about Sam Rosen and Marv Albert. You know, when Marv was doing games, he was a lot more honest than the announcers are today. I guess partially because the networks or the teams didn't know the networks that they were on. You know, Sam and Micheletti, they sugarcoat everything. You hardly ever hear a negative word about them, about the team from them. Everything is positive, 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 and upbeat. And, you know, I don't think the fans get a real shake at, you know, hearing an honest opinion from these guys.
Well,
it's just a shame about that. And, you know, SNY is not owned by the Mets yet. You know, I know the Wilpons still own SNY. So I think that's why Gary and Keith and Ron can be so honest about the team.
No, that,
so you look
first
at
of
the
all,
other
whoa,
teams
whoa,
in the area.
Hold on a second. Those guys have always been honest about the team.
They have been, absolutely.
Okay, why would you even say that because it's not owned by the current Mets owner?
I'm specifically talking about a guy like Sam Rosen and Joe Micheletti. Who I think hands are tied by the network and because of Dolan. Well, you know, Marv Albert was honest. He got fired by the Garden because he was too honest
That's Dolan, and thanks for the call, Jeff.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't know the exact details of it, but I guess Dolan didn't like the criticism that Marv would be putting on a team.
I mean, yeah, well, there was other stuff with Marv, right?
Well,
I mean, listen, Gus.
But he did come back after that.
Gus, to me, was very critical of the Knicks. I mean, Gus would just light them up.
Right.
Again, that was the Eddie Curry, Isaiah days, Stephon Marbury, Jamal Crawford, Q Rich, that team that, you know, Nate Robinson, they were horrendous. I thought Gus always let it fly. The Mets broadcast team, whether they're owned by SNY, which they're not now, or when they were, by the Mets, they were always letting it rip. I think a lot of people will disagree with me. I think Michael Kay's pretty honest.
He lets it rip.
Now, he doesn't let it, like, he's not irresponsibly ripping the Yankees, but I don't think, he never tried to paint them, like, whether it's Gleyber Torres not hustling, or the stuff with Gallo and Hicks, or other stuff that Gary Sanchez and his indifference. I think Michael does a good job with that. I always have.
100%. He's not afraid to call out the team.
No.
But same thing with like Gary, Keith, and Ron. They don't do it irresponsibly. They call out the team when they feel need be.
Same correct.
With Michael K. That's what we do in New York. How can you take us seriously if we don't?
Yeah.
You get this. This is not the Midwest. Like, we don't need all the roses and you know, rainbows. Like, we know the reality. So if you see it, you have to call it out. Otherwise, you can't be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
those guys do it. And I don't know the exact details of Marv. And I forget because it's been so long ago now. My memory of it was that there was some issue. Now, who knows? It could have been finance. Or maybe finances were a part of it. I don't remember the exact details, but I thought that there was some issue between Dolan and Marv and maybe Marv not wanting to work for Dolan.
I think you're right, but I don't remember the details either, so I don't want to jump into that and be wrong and offend somebody unnecessarily.
Yep.
Yeah, and by the way, we're not dumb, so we know what we're seeing. Do you really need a broadcaster to... And on occasion, they do it. But do you really need somebody to lambaste a player for us to sit back and say, wow, I didn't realize what a glaring lack of effort. Thank God Gary Cohen or Michael Kay pointed that. I would have never deduced that on my own.
But
we know.
Right, but doesn't it feel good to have the voice of those teams
validate our complaints?
Yeah, well, they're watching it with you.
And I think that they do a lot of times.
I really do. That's what I mean. So we're all seeing the same thing.
Yeah.
They're calling the game, and we're thinking something while they're calling the game, and then they say it, and you should, because that's what the audience is thinking.
What bothered me, and this is a little bit of a different element of broadcasting, but what always bothered me more is when radio station, I'm not going to start naming names. I don't even really have a good example right now. But like when a radio station would have a paid guest, whether it was the head coach of the Giants here or the Jets at the old place or the other station or whatever it might be, Eli, like, you know, we've had a lot of, you know, stars that we've paid over the years. That used the way that was the way you did business in New York radio back in the day. Not anymore, really. You don't need to. And, you know, you'd have a host have one opinion on the air, and then you get the subject on the air, and you start kissing his ass. Like, to me, that is the weakest.
No, you can't
weakest.
Do that.
Like, that used to drive me insane.
Who did that?
No, I'm not saying that there's even an example that jumped, but it has certainly happened.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it happens.
Well, I'm sure it has, but like, I feel like growing up listening to Mike and Chris, that never happened.
I'm not talking about Mike and Chris. Well, I'm not talking about
Mike. Right,
and
so for me, I don't know who else it could happen to because the guys that I grew up listening
to. Yeah, there's examples, but you know.
Joe B never held back.
No, I'm saying, like, we had Cashman on the other day. Yeah. Like, I think people were, not that we're trying to be disrespectful, but I mean, I think that it would have been so inconsistent for me to have my opinions that I've shared on the Fan.
And not say something.
And not challenge him like I did. I mean, I'd have no backbone at that point. I'd be useless.
You had to say something.
Of course.
Even though we didn't, like you said, there were a lot more things we could have gotten into. You just can't. The first time that he's only on for a shortened period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're looking to do battle with him, but there are a lot of things that we could have brought up. You had to at least mention something
Definitely.
Along the way, and I think that we did. Caesar is calling from Dallas, Texas. What's up, Caesar?
Hey, guys. I just want to talk about the Yankees lineup. I know, and maybe this is old school, but old school worked for a long time for the Yankees, right? Hmm. When I'm too young to have seen Ruth and Gehrig play, but they batted 3 and 4 in the lineup, and I don't understand why they refuse to move Judge and Soto back one spot. I want the opportunity to those guys to bat with guys on base. To me, you're losing opportunities. And it goes back to, like, there's been a change since 2009 to the way the Yankees operate. The Yankees operated for a certain way, and their 3 and 4 hitters were the most productive batters in the lineup day in and day out. And for some reason now that's changed and that's moved up. And then on top of that, I think you compound the problem where, you know, we're not the Rays. We don't need to rely on analytics and have a new lineup every single day. It's so frustrating, and I think it's got to weigh on the
Let
players.
Let me ask you this, Caesar. Now, philosophically, I'm with you. I think it's overthinking and it's unnecessary. I wonder how much of that, Sal, thanks for the call there, buddy, how much of that has to do with the fact that the Yankees don't have a leadoff hitter that they really trust?
I'm glad you said that because I want to get to somebody who maybe can be that guy. Caller brought it up before, and I wanted to get to it. You think Dominguez could eventually take that role? He didn't bring that up specifically, but he was talking about why they keep rolling with Verdugo out there in the leadoff spot. And I know we look at Dominguez as a guy who could provide power, and we're looking at him more as protection for Judge.
Yeah.
But how would this lineup look with Dominguez?
Okay, now before I answer that.
Meaning replace Verdugo. And we're always looking at the replacement potentially for Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's for Verdugo?
Okay, interesting. So before I answer that, do you think it's more important to have... Do you think it's more important to replace Verdugo or to have, you know, 10, 12, 15% better production behind Judge?
I think that the lineup with a legitimate leadoff hitter with Stanton / Wells behind Judge could be as productive or more productive with Dominguez there.
Yep.
And I think it's just an interesting point to bring
it
up.
Is.
Like, You could tell me either way, but all right, let's say then you have Dominguez to protect Judge. Who's leading off?
Well, Jazz? It's going to be the combination of what they... I mean, Chisholm hasn't batted first yet since the game, but I don't even know if he's going to finish the season.
Correct. He may be out of the equation, period.
But he hasn't batted first once.
Understood, but I'm saying, like, it can't be Verdugo long-term. I don't think it can be.
I don't think it should be either. It's been Glaber a couple times, been Volpe.
Okay,
they don't have one. That's the answer.
And in this scenario, we're bringing in Dominguez to the equation.
Yep.
So would the Yankees be a better lineup? This is the best way to ask it. Would the Yankees be a better lineup with Dominguez replacing Stanton or Verdugo?
I still think, well, at that point, Verdugo's a good left fielder.
Right.
He is. He's very good. Left field. So, and the metrics back that up.
But you wouldn't need him if you had Dominguez.
But is Dominguez going to definitely be a better left fielder? He's going to be a better hitter. He's going to be a better presence. Now, I only say that because is he going to be the source of power that Stanton is, at least theoretically?
That's what I'm saying. So
I'm not sure it's as easy an answer as you think.
But this is why it's a good question, because there's not an easy answer, but what would you do? You can't have all of them. You can't have Judge, Soto, Verdugo, Stanton, and Dominguez.
All right, here's what
I
think.
So which one's coming out? And by the way, it doesn't have to be the same every day. Like, you could obviously rotate it, but game one of the postseason.
Against the righty?
Yeah, all right.
Against the righty?
Yeah, fine. Against the righty.
Well, I'm saying it matters, though. Against the righty?
Well, why?
Because the lefty Verdugo's not playing.
Okay, fine. But against the righty, game one. And even I'm just worried more about the structure of the lineup.
Yeah.
Would you rather Dominguez, Soto, Judge, Wells, Stanton? Or Verdugo, Soto, Judge.
Yep.
Well, I mean, we.
I'm
going to
give you choice C. I got choice C.
Okay.
I'm going to one. Okay. Now he's got to be healthy. I would put Chisholm first.
Me too.
I would put Jazz one. I would go. Even though I can certainly be tempted to back those guys up a spot. Keep Soto two.
And I don't know why they didn't do that from the get go with Jazz. Like, I thought, all right, maybe the first couple games you want to get him.
I think protection. Think about when they got him.
Yeah, but still.
How much of a void there was after Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
All right, so Jazz, Soto, Judge, 1-2-3. Wells, 4. Dominguez, 5. Stanton, 6.
Yeah. Right.
Verdugo's out.
Yeah, okay.
Or Verdugo against the right.
Now, the problem that you have with this scenario is that Jazz might not be a factor.
I know. He might not be healthy.
Yeah.
For those who missed it, these Yankees are still waiting. By the way, we should probably give this a minute or so. The news about 2 hours ago, Martino had it, others had it as well, but we saw Andy's report. The Yankees are still conferring with doctors to get a sense of what the MRI reads on his UCL.
Meaning if they need surgery or not.
Correct. Now, to me, that's worrisome, because it's not that these, again, this is just a long-distance read. To me, it's not like these brilliant doctors can't deduce what they're looking at, like the film, the imaging.
Right.
I believe what they're really battling is like, all right.
Do we need to have it?
Is there a course of action to get him on the field soon without? I feel like surgery is more on the table. That's
right,
just what I'm reading from the reaction.
They're thinking of ways and doing everything they can. And again, we're assuming this, so we don't know. But the longer that it goes on and they're looking at the images, they're trying to figure out a way to salvage him for the season.
Although with Gerrit Cole, it was the opposite. Remember, it took longer and we're like, doesn't it just feel like he's going to need surgery? And he didn't. Now we missed a ton of time. So that's not exactly comforting here. But if it's cut and dry, torn, I mean, you'd be in your first day of medical school, you're like, all right, surgery, done. So that it's not that. I don't think it's as simple black and white. It's full, it would be a rupture at that point. A ligament would rupture or tear, full tear. Well, it could be a rupture is a full tear. I feel like it's not that, but I feel like I want to stay responsible, but it's actually worrying me the more this goes on.
Yeah, and I thought we would have an answer by the time we got off the air. Now we still might. We have 45 minutes to go here, but what the hell's going on here? I mean, they're looking at it. They know, trying to come up with something.
I don't know.
Point is, anything other than surgery done for the season is great news.
Yes.
Like, I don't care if they said he's going to be out a month and a half. You just need him back for
October.
You
need him for October.
They need him back for October. So anything other than, out for the postseason is great.
Detrimental
news
if he's not. And it's his left arm, so it's non-throwing. But that's another reason why I'm more worried, because it's not like they're even contemplating just hitting for a while. Oh, maybe they are, and they just haven't divulged it. But if it will.
But even so, BT, that's not going to help them. If
it's true, because you can't DH, because Stanton's got a DH. Right.
Or Dominguez or whatever. Like, they need him to play third.
That's true.
So think about that. Even if he could be an offensive player only.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it wouldn't help him in certain areas. Like,
speed.
Yeah, but.
Length in the lineup. No, they need him to play third.
He's got to play third.
It's been very good there. He's got one error.
It's not going to be great having him in the lineup and taking one of the other potential successful players out.
Unless you take out Verdugo and you put in Dominguez, and Dominguez is awesome.
So you take out Verdugo.
If you do, and Dominguez really pops again.
And then you have Dominguez, Stanton, and Jazz.
Yeah, and then you have maybe Birdie and DJ playing third. I'm not saying that's ideal, but it might be something you might be staring at.
Either way, it's a drop-off there.
Yep.
All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Peter is in White Plains. What's up, Peter?
Hey, Pete.
Yeah, there's something that I haven't heard anything mentioned about. This goes as far as Brandon Nimmo is concerned. he was doing great before the All-Star game, and I said, this is the Nimmo that they always wanted. This is the guy who's going to be with the, you know, the next few years, and he's really going to help the team. And then he has this fall in his hotel room.
Yeah, and in the middle of the night.
After that, and to me, it rings every bit as the same as Anthony Rizzo last year.
That's interesting. That is really interesting.
Can we check? They should go back. They should check the timeline now.
Hold on one sec, Peter. Hoff, can you check the timeline of when that happened and what Nimmo? Yeah, I'm sure just Google a news story. It'll come up when Nimmo cracked his head there in the hotel.
That's interesting.
And then
Pete,
what he's done since. Good point, though, Peter. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that it was at the end of the season, they went back to Rizzo and they said, now we find there's a concussion and this is why he had the trouble this whole second half of the season. And I'm saying, this could be the same thing with Nimmo. At the end of the season, they find out it's a concussion.
I think that could be, first of all, it's a very astute point.
Excellent point.
Even if it's not true, it's a possibility. But it very well might be the answer.
Yeah, so because it would make sense. You said before, is he hurt? And I'm like, come on, are we making an excuse for him? But the way that he's fallen off the cliff has to make you think something is up. And I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, so did I.
And he bounced back from it, saying it was scary.
Where was that? That was before Colorado. That was on the previous road trip.
I forget the time.
July 1st.
Oh, yeah, that long ago.
Yeah, but that correlates then with him not being the same, right? When was the...
Yeah, All-Star game was what? July 10th, 12th, something like that? Okay.
The 15th was the All-Star
game. All right, so we're saying he should have been an All-Star. Let me see. Now, sometimes, again, post-concussion syndrome, again, you know, I mean,
thought he was okay right after that, maybe, which is why I dismissed it.
July
you have his game
1st,
on?
They were in Washington at that point.
Okay. And what did he do immediately after leading up to the All-Star break?
I got it here. So I got your game log. Okay. All right. So he fell July 1st in the hotel room, and that was his batting average was he was hitting .250.
Okay.
All right. And then
but he was pounding the ball. His OPS was great.
His OPS was .825.
Okay.
So he was hitting .250 with an .825 OPS, and now he's hitting .227 with a .745 OPS.
You have the game log right in front of you?
I'm looking at every single game.
Okay, so give me from July 1st. Not that we need to break
that. That's long. Tell me what you need
July
2nd, exactly.
July
2nd, he went 2-for-3.
Let me do this.
Okay,
hold on. Let me do thank you, Hoff. Let me just do the splits. That'll be easier. Let me at least look at August here.
Okay.
So August, because that would encompass everything.
But we know he's been bad in August.
No, I just want to give you the full numbers.
He's really been bad since the All-Star break.
184 in August.
Right.
188 in July. He got hurt. He fell July 1st. I mean, 3:15 in June. That's why. And I didn't even think about the concussion. Right. I was thinking about maybe something else. Like, we've got to be fair to this man. Brandon Nimmo is not a superstar, but Brandon Nimmo was a whole hell of a lot better than he's shown us for the last 6 weeks. He looks like he belongs in AA, let alone AAA.
And
he's not that guy.
What I would say is that would at least be, I don't want to say like that's a good thing because it's not if he's hurt, obviously, but at least there's an answer and a reason.
Yeah.
For why he struggled as opposed to he's just been an inconsistent player his whole career.
100%.
But don't you think they're checking this out? Like,
don't you think the Yankees checked out Rizzo?
Oh, well.
And he was actually got zonked in the head by Tatis and he got a concussion.
You know, maybe this is one of those scenarios where the Mets tried to check him out. Go ahead, Hoff, you get something else.
Yeah, the only thing I will discredit this is because between July 6th and 13th, when the Mets went 7-1, he was batting .324 with an OPS over 1,000, 3 home runs, 10 RBIs. So he wasn't terrible in that stretch.
And that's why I wanted the game log, because I know he was on fire going into the All-Star.
Yeah, he was.
Because that was the storyline. Like,
but what about post-concussion syndrome? Again, I don't know, but I know it's a real thing.
No, you're right. But like he got this concussion on the 1st.
Yep.
He still played for like 8 games and was on fire.
But that's my point. Rizzo played too. He didn't play well. But post-concussion, who knows when it actually manifests itself.
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
But Nimmo's a lot better than this.
I do think it's an interesting point.
That was a good point.
BT and look, you hope the guy's healthy, but you hope that if he's healthy, he was producing a little bit better than what he's been doing here over the last month and a half.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Brian is calling from Locust Valley. What's up, Brian?
Quick 2 points, guys. First thing I would say is, God, I'm a 50-year-old Yankee fan, and to agree with anything Sal has to say makes me ill. But I will say this. Sal, you are right. Juan Soto is a mercenary. He is going to take the biggest and largest contract, and that's me saying that as a Yankee fan. Now, it's not going to be 500 versus 520. It's going to be 500 versus 12 years, 600 million. I do agree with that. He is going where the most money is, hands down. I don't care. The Mets can lose every game for the rest of the season. He's still taking the most money.
Yeah, but you don't know
He's
that.
He's never given
any
indication.
Oh, we don't
know. Well, it's an opinion just like you guys have.
100%.
He's given no indication that he cares about the Yankee lore or anything.
Right. Let me ask you this, Brian. You think he's having fun?
Well, did he have fun when he was with Washington?
He didn't I think he's having more fun here.
Hey, he won a World Series in Washington.
Understood. But do you think he's having fun with Judge? You think he's enjoying the season?
Of course he is.
Okay, no, hold on. I got you. Do you think the Yankees will have a good offer?
I do.
Okay.
But here's the other part of the problem. Is I don't know if the Yankees can afford him. And I'll tell you why. You guys, listen, I know the Yankees have the best record. I do. I get it. Do I think they're a World Series winning team? I do not.
Yeah, not without Jazz. If Jazz Chisholm's out, I agree with you. But what do you mean they don't have the money? Of course they have the money. It's whether or not they've got the willingness to spend it. They've got the money. They've got the highest valuation in the sport.
Do they have the will? I'm assuming that's what you mean, Brian. Like me. Like, yeah, we know they could afford anything if they want, but do they have the desire to go out there and overextend and pay Soto and then some and go beyond the luxury tax threshold to build out a team? All right, BT and Sal on The Fan. They have it. Caller of the day was a good one there from Brian. 888-808-1019. Although I will say, he said it makes him sick to his stomach to agree with me. Why? I don't understand. Everything you said was accurate. That's how I feel. Just because you're a Yankee fan and I grew up a Met fan, that doesn't mean anything. What, that hurt you? We just speak the truth here. Two things I want to get to, BT. I think I'm going to do the Yankee one first, but I was going to give you a choice. Yankees here,
okay.
Or something that ties into the Yankees before we get back to the calls, or something from the Met game last night.
Let's hit the Met thing first.
Okay, you want to do the Met thing
first? Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay.
Show everybody that I'm open-minded here.
The Austin Adams stuff, did you see this last night?
Yeah, I was watching it live, yeah.
Right, so he was...
When he got out of the gym.
The Mets traded him, I think, to cash or whatever before the season.
They DFA'd him, and then they wound up getting cash.
Okay, and then he goes to the A's, he obviously gets Alvarez out, he does the OMG mocking celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And let some expletives fly.
Yes. John Boy, I believe, translated.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't even need John Boy to translate some of the stuff. You could pretty much read what he was saying. It was pretty clear. But anyway, my first thoughts were of anger. Now, I'm not saying that he can't do that, obviously, or that the Mets don't deserve to be mocked. Hey, when you celebrate like that in the OMG stuff, you're leaving yourself wide open. You better win and shut down opponents because you're going to be mocked all those. But my first feelings on it were anger. And then I said to myself, you know what? If that were me, I'd do the same thing. They cut him. He ends up with another team, comes back to get him. You know what? I'd be fired up and passionate about it too. And I don't know if I would have done the exact thing that he did or say the exact thing that he did, but I could understand wanting to stick it to your former team.
Me too. And I want to read the quote here. And I was kind of thinking the same thing in real time. Like, all right, this guy's pushing the envelope a little bit much.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know,
relax,
you gotta do a little chin music next inning just to send him. Honestly. And then what he said after the game was great. He said, quote, I got DFA'd 3 days before game started over there. I mean, I'm a middle reliever, so I mean, that just kind of happens with the job that I have. But I got out of a big jam, and I helped the team. I pitch on emotion. I got some big outs. But at the end of the day, I got DFA'd. And when that happens, you're basically told you're not good enough to play for a team anymore. That, you know that it sucks. So, yeah, I had a little extra juice today. I love it.
Now, did you hear what the Mets, how they responded?
I saw what Edwin Diaz said.
Quote, he crossed a line.
That's what Edwin Diaz said.
He can do it always. That's fine. But he can't get mad if we do something to him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Austin Adams then. He said, I looked up and it was. Did you just read that part or no? No, you didn't say that part.
Not that part.
From Austin Adams where he said, I looked up. I was so surprised I got out of it. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
come on, bro. Who are you kidding? That's not. Then he said, the song is sick. Iglesias is a good dude. Hopefully no one's offended. Just having fun. That was more than.
He walked it back a little bit.
Yeah, that I lose respect for him. Just stick to it. That was not having fun.
Well, I don't lose respect
for him. He was angry.
Him,
he was nasty. He was ticked off. Now, what do you think of Diaz, though, saying, calling him out for it, saying he crossed the line?
I have no problem with that either. I think that's being a good team leader. I have no problem with that. Now, do you know what he actually... You said that you didn't really need translation. Do you know what he actually said? Because I've got the translation right here.
Go ahead. I forget what exactly it was. It was something like, get the bleep out of here.
I got to go slow because his curse is here.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. F-bomb,
right.
Out of here.
Right.
You piece of bleep.
Yep, yep.
To Alvarez, I guess. Yeah, that was with Alvarez.
Yeah.
You guys are effing bleep. You effing DFA me. Shut the F up.
Yeah, so that's his...
You got personal with Alvarez, though.
Well,
like, bleep out of here, you piece of bleep. That's personal.
A little warning for Austin Adams, because I guarantee you Alvarez has seen that. That's not the guy you want to be going after like that.
Yeah.
Alvarez, now again, I don't know this. Just a hunch, and based on what I've seen,
scrappy.
That's not the boy you want to mess around with.
I don't think so.
Alvarez would go out there and throw down.
Like, I would think that he would. I had no problems with Adams. I get it. So personal that, like, it's not like you were DFA. Like, it's below being traded. You were just deemed deemed useless. Right. Get out of here.
So I get that basically. Part of it.
So me too. So it's raw. I respect that. He's a competitor. He's hanging on, in the pros by basically a string. Now, I don't mind what he did, as I said. You're okay with it as well.
Yeah.
I have no problem Edwin Diaz saying he crossed the line. Well, then go do something about it.
You crossed
the line? Okay, great. Well, you crossed the line, you can do something about it or not.
That's why Diaz, who is Diaz to say that he crossed the line? The guy comes out dancing to trumpets when the Mets are losing. Like, what are we talking about here? He untucks the jersey and pumps his fist, and he gets pumped up. The Mets do their celebration, the OMG. Like, you don't think that? They do a concert. They did a post-game concert on the field. That didn't cross the line, like, to opponents?
Mm-hmm. They I'm get big saying, hits. They're slapping the air now, slapping
right.
people.
So that's just the way of the game. So I'm not saying that the Mets are right or wrong for doing what they do. But if somebody who's going to take it personally because a team DFA'd them and gets through an inning wants to mock your celebration, hey, you started it. That's fair game. You may not like it, but how did he cross a line?
He didn't. I think there's one person that can probably lay some claim to the fact that he did, or their fact that he did cross. And that's Alvarez. I mean, he called a bleeping piece of bleep. I mean, right to his face. So that's different.
And listen, I don't even think he meant that.
I don't think so.
Personally, he's just doing that in the heat of battle.
That's why I like the fact that he walked it back a little bit, because there's, that is disrespectful.
We could have walked it back more honestly than just trying to pretend like, I looked up and said, oh my gosh.
Well, that part was weak. But I think he was very honest and truthful. He said, basically, they got rid of me and they said I wasn't good enough and I take it seriously and personally. I respect that. I think that we have to understand, and we do, it's just a different athlete, man. The celebrations are more explosive. The bat flips are higher. The home run trots are slower. The celebrations, the chains that they put on each other, the Toronto Blue Jays with the home run jacket, all the things that is what it is.
Yeah, it's why I can't go nuts if a guy does that.
No.
And it's why Diaz shouldn't have said anything. He should have said, hey, whatever, he wants to do that, that's fine. Next time we got to make him pay. End of story. Not he crossed the line.
Yeah, it was weird.
Hoff,
what
do you got here before we take a break? What do you got?
Drew Gilbert just got removed from a game in Rochester. He got hit by a pitch, but I think you guys should watch the video and then you guys should react.
Where did he get hit?
I think that's why you should watch the video.
Okay, we'll do that.
He get hit in the cup, did he?
Well, I think that's what he's alluding to.
I don't think he was wearing a cup.
Ooh. No way.
And that's where he got hit?
Hold on. He was on the floor for 3 minutes.
Oh, dude.
Legs up in the air.
Out for the year.
God almighty.
Is it
I got to see this now. I can't wait.
Is it actually funny?
It's not funny. All right, here it is. I got it.
It is funny.
Jeez.
let me see.
Oh, dude. He turns right. Oh, he's down. This is terrible. He turns.
I can't see. Hold on.
Look at Sal. He turns right into it. And I don't want to talk about the fact that he was really fooled on a curveball. Maybe not portend good things about his ability to hit the deuce at a big league level, keep his hands back. But he turned right, like his hips flared. So his hips flared to first base where he was basically facing the ball.
Right.
Like,
come get me.
And it's a direct shot. and he grabs it right away. But you know what? You got to wear a cup. People who don't wear a cup, you're out of your mind.
Do you know?
If you don't wear a cup playing baseball, I think you're so stupid.
Come on, I don't get it. You have to wear a cup. It reminds me of in Little League.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't have as a pitcher at times was control. I was just all over the place. I wish I knew. Like, I just wasn't either taught the right, whatever it was. And I remember, dude, hitting a kid in the cup.
Oh, God.
He went to back away. It was right-handed batter, and I'm a righty. He went to back away. And as he goes to get out of the way, he's standing, like, basically square.
Turning to you?
Yeah, turning to the pitch, and he got hit right in the cup.
How old were
you? He was wearing the cup. Probably 12, 13. But it's one of those that, you don't remember everything, but you remember that.
At least if you're young, the smaller the target. 12, 13 years old, it was a little
big
transition.
Enough, big enough and old enough,
man. that stinks. That is brutal. Just wear a cup. Hop, do you make sure your boys always wear a cup?
No, they don't, actually.
What? Attaboy. Attaboy.
They don't like, though. They don't catch. As long as they're not catching, I don't care.
Is Drew Gilbert a catcher?
He's also not getting 90 miles per hour.
I don't know. Anthony's playing up.
Gilbert caught that one. You make sure Colt wears
all the time.
Yeah, you have to.
Oh, all the time.
Come on, it's part of it.
And the heart guard too. Do you at least make Anthony wear a heart guard?
Oh, that yeah. No,
that's
of course.
A new that's thing.
That is
though.
A very new thing.
You didn't have that, right?
I remember when my wife first came back with that thing from Dick's, the heart guard. I'm like, what the hell is this thing? She's like, oh, all the boys have to wear. I'm like, he's not wearing that tomorrow's first game. And then, like, I'm like, talk to, like, you have to.
What is it? Is it like a chest protector?
It's basically a cushion that protrudes out. So it's like
you have to wear it underneath the whole game.
It's like one of those tight, and it's sleeveless, right? So it's tight. It's very form fitting.
Okay.
And it's actually cool. It's got like a sleeve. It's got like he's got the American flag, red, white, and blue, and it's like a big circle. That's very, very cushiony and offers protection.
So if you get hit there with a line or something.
A bit of line drive, a bad hop. I mean, because there has been some instances where young boys, I'm sure young girls too, but I know in for sure a couple of the young boys have died where they've gotten hit with a pitch or a line drive. It's so... I didn't know that at the time when I was mocking it. I'm like, look at these kids. Right. I'm like, no, you got
to
wear it.
It's funny. They have to wear that. They don't have to wear a cup anymore. That's the rule.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah,
you got to protect.
It's suggested.
You got to protect the goods,
right? You got to protect the future. Come on.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan, about to finish things up on the phones at 888-808-1019. Two things before we do that, BT. One, I was kind of shocked when I saw this. Maybe I shouldn't be. ESPN sources, actually it's been reported elsewhere as well, but I'm just reading the Adam Schefter tweet.
Okay.
The surgery for J.J. McCarthy, his torn meniscus, revealed that a repair was necessary, and he's out for the season.
Yeah. Okay, so the meniscus, because there's the we talked about this yesterday. There's the snipping of the meniscus, and then there is something, and they don't know until they get in there. So if they think that they could basically snip it away, that's less intrusive, obviously, and less invasive, and the recovery is like four or five, like you'll be back soon.
Which is what we assume.
Which is what we kind
happened.
Of assume.
Maybe they did too, because they went in and then learned.
There you go. If it's the other thing, which evidently it is, then he's lost for the season.
Doesn't that just show you though?
Stinks.
That's what I'm saying. Doesn't that just show you how fragile sports fandom is? Like, you're excited. This could have been any of our teams, and it has been our teams. We saw with the Jets last year. I mean, Daniel Jones got hurt. But think about if you're a Vikings fan. And again, I'm not trying to empathize with Vikings fans. I'm just giving an example of all sports fans.
Yeah, it'll come back to us at some point.
Yeah, like, it already has. It will. You think you're franchised in a spot. They trade up to get a guy that they believe is going to be the next guy. You're excited about seeing him. He has a successful preseason first game. You know, throws a touchdown, whatever. People are excited about it. He gets hurt, and now he's done for the year.
That's
before the year
sport.
Even... I mean, come on, dude.
It's a brutal sport. That's why you get every penny you can.
It's cruel just being a sports fan. Now they think he's going to be back stronger and better than ever when he comes back. But, like...
What else are they going to say? He's going to be weaker and, you know...
I know.
You know, more... push him around easier. Of course they're going
to
say that.
So here's the Yankee thing that I was going to get to before. It just pertains to Jazz. A baseball source. Nobody within the Yankees or the Mets, just to be clear. But a baseball source. Somebody within the game.
Yeah.
Told me that... He believes the delay, and he's, you know, in the know, which is why I would even say this. It doesn't mean that this is the case. I'm just telling you that a baseball source is giving me his expert opinion, and I'm sharing with you.
Okay.
The delay with Jazz is likely that he needs Tommy John at some point, and they're balancing delaying it in the offseason with some rest and rehab now versus doing it now when he would be ready for next season.
All right, a couple of things. If it is, first of all, I'm not saying that's never happened. Of course it has. I don't know. I can't think of one instance where somebody needed Tommy John surgery for their non-throwing arm. That's crazy.
Did it happen with Dominguez?
No, it was his throwing arm, wasn't it?
Okay, I'm trying to think of other, I guess I'm thinking of it with you know, not
think
being
about
a
the
pitcher.
Way guys get hurt, you know what
right.
I mean? Like,
you're right, if you have it happen.
Yeah, especially on a slide, which looked fairly benign. All right, anyway, so that would surprise me. That would definitely surprise me.
If he needs Tommy John.
Yeah, if it's Tommy John for his left elbow, he throws with his right.
Now, again, he's not a doctor, but it's just somebody in the game that has obviously gone through this with other people before.
He's giving you some informed speculation more than we have. Yeah, I get it. It's informed speculation.
Take it what you want.
But, I could appreciate it. Listen, he's a doctor, I'm assuming, or some sort of medical personnel or a baseball person. He knows more than we do. So I'm open to information.
Or at least more familiar with the behind the scenes stuff than maybe we are.
Okay, now let's say if it does require Tommy John surgery, is there a way to piece together a season since it's his non-throwing, meaning hitting and running?
I would doubt that at this point.
I wouldn't rule it out entirely.
Well, let me ask you,
could be a partial tear.
If there has to be surgery on a UCL, what that's not Tommy John? I don't know.
There's a partial tear and there's a full tear.
And Tommy John is for a full tear?
Well, when I had mine, they didn't know. And Dr. Olchek, the former Mets doctor, actually did it for me at HSS. I remember going in and they said, and before they did the anesthesia, they said, you could be opening your eyes in an hour or it could be 5 hours. And I actually remember, and they explained the difference. Yeah. You know, obviously an hour is better, five hours not good. I remember opening up my eyes, I think they injected or with the anesthesia like 6. I remember opening my eyes like 3 in the afternoon, and I swear I remember looking at the clock all hazy and fuzzy and saying to myself, I'm screwed, and then getting zonked back out.
Because
I know, I'm like, I just deduced, like, I looked at the time, I'm like, not good, boom, back to bed, basically. But that was my throwing arm. But the point being, they didn't know until they went in there.
But is UCL Tommy John?
UCL is definitely Tommy John. But there's full tears and there's partial tears. Tanaka had a partial tear.
That's what I mean. So maybe that's the case where there was talk at the time. So you were saying, you don't know why there would be Tommy John on a non-throwing arm, but if it's the UCL.
That's what confused me. Gotcha. The non-throwing ligament can still fully rupture and snap in your non-throwing arm. It's just very uncommon. Why would it snap? You didn't throw anything.
Unless it was blunt force trauma.
Which it was.
With Tanaka, there was talk at the time.
Correct.
He's going to eventually have to have the surgery.
Yep.
But he could also pitch through it, which he clearly did. He didn't want to have the surgery, and he pitched through it.
Mm-hmm.
Which at the time we didn't know. So is that what we're talking about here? Where he could play through it, and if Tanaka could pitch through it, then certainly you would think at some point Jazz could play through
it. I think that's a distinct possibility. And the other thing, let's say, you know, they for a pitcher, obviously 12 months, you know, 12 to 14 months, position player a little bit different like Dominguez. But I think if he does need reconstructive surgery on the UCL, meaning full transplant, ligament transplant, I would think that he could come back. I mean, let's say he has the surgery September 1st.
Right.
Swelling goes down. You have to wait for that nonsense. You know, can't operate till the... So surgery September 1, September, October, November, December, January, February. I would think because he's a non-pitcher and it's his non-throwing arm, I think he'd be fine by opening day. I don't think it would be the lengthy Tommy John surgery timetable.
Right, but forget about opening day.
I'm just trying to look at everything.
Otani had it and is still playing. Obviously,
Did he have it?
Yeah. Didn't he have it last year?
Yeah, Bryce Harper had it too. Yeah. He came back with first base. Right.
So, I mean, I'm not worried about next year. I'm worried about now.
No, so am I. I'm just kind of examining it from every angle.
Right.
I do think that if it's a partial tear, he could definitely play. No doubt.
But I think,
Tanaka pitched with a partial tear, as we said.
I think the point is...
I don't think he could play if it's fully ruptured.
The reason...
Even though it's his left
arm. Point is, the reason for the delay or unknown at this point is probably because... Probably. Again, I have no idea. Because they're weighing the options.
Surgical options.
Seeing if there's any way where they could avoid shutting him down for the year.
It's definitely trending 100%. That's what I said last hour. To me, this is definitely trending much more negatively than positively. The longer you go,
the
murkier it is. Like, we don't know what we have. We might have to do this. Maybe we find out more if we operate. I don't think it's going in the right direction. That doesn't mean it's the most ominous situation, but it's definitely not the most favorable,
yeah,
in my opinion.
And it's just terrible where, you know, the Yankees clearly need Jazz. They needed more. I would argue they needed more. But if they lose him for the season, that's going to be a tough blow to recover from.
I think it will be an unrecoverable blow unless Dominguez comes back and really is that guy.
All right, that does it for us. We'll be back again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Thanks to everybody who listened, everybody who called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove and Hop as well. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.
That's right.
Come on.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan, about to finish things up on the phones at 888-808-1019. Two things before we do that, BT. One, I was kind of shocked when I saw this. Maybe I shouldn't be. ESPN sources. Actually, it's been reported elsewhere as well, but I'm just reading the Adam Schefter tweet.
Okay.
The surgery for J.J. McCarthy, his torn meniscus,
yeah,
revealed that a repair was necessary, and he's out for the season.
Yeah. Okay, so the meniscus, because there's the difference. We talked about this yesterday. There's the snipping of the meniscus. And then there is something, and they don't know until they get in there. So if they think that they can basically snip it away, that's less intrusive, obviously, right, and less invasive, and the recovery is like four or five. Like, you'll be back soon.
Which is what we assume.
Which is what we kind
happened.
Of assume.
Maybe they did, too, because they went in and then learned.
There you go. If it's the other thing, which evidently it is, then he's lost for the season.
Doesn't that just show you, though?
Stinks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Doesn't that just show you how fragile sports fandom is? Like, you're excited. This could have been any of our teams. And it has been our teams. We saw with the Jets last year. I mean, Daniel Jones got hurt. But think about if you're a Vikings fan. And again, I'm not trying to empathize with Vikings fans. I'm just giving an example of all sports fans.
Yeah,
here.
It'll come back to us at some point.
Yeah, like, it already has. It will. You think your franchise in a spot, they trade up to get a guy that they believe is going to be the next guy. You're excited about seeing him. He has a successful preseason first game. You know, throws a touchdown, whatever. People are excited about it. He gets hurt, and now he's done for the year.
That's
before the year
sport.
Even... I mean, come on, dude.
It's a brutal sport. That's why you get every penny you can.
It's cruel just being a sports fan. Now they think he's going to be back stronger and better than ever when he comes back. But, like,
what else are they going to say? He's going to be weaker and, you know.
I know.
You know, more, push him around easier. I mean, of course they're going
to
say that.
So here's the Yankee thing that I was going to get to before. It just pertains to Jazz. A baseball source. Nobody within the Yankees or the Mets, just to be clear. But a baseball source. Somebody within the game.
Yeah.
Told me that. He believes the delay, and he's, you know, in the know, which is why I would even say this. It doesn't mean that this is the case. I'm just telling you that a baseball source is giving me his expert opinion that I'm sharing with you.
Okay.
The delay with Jazz is likely that he needs Tommy John at some point, and they're balancing delaying it in the offseason with some rest and rehab now versus doing it now when he would be ready for next season.
All right, a couple of things. If it is, first of all, I'm not saying that's never happened. Of course it has. I don't know. I can't think of one instance where somebody needed Tommy John surgery for their non-throwing arm. That's crazy.
Did it happen with Dominguez?
No, it was his throwing arm, wasn't it?
Okay, I'm trying to think of other, you know, I guess I'm thinking of it with you know, not
think about
being
the
pitcher.
Way guys get hurt, you know what
right.
I mean? Like,
you're right, if you have it happen.
Yeah, especially on a slide, which looked fairly benign. All right, anyway, so that would surprise me. That would definitely surprise me.
If he needs Tommy John.
Yeah, if it's Tommy John for his left elbow, he throws with his right.
Now, again,
that's
he's not a
rare.
Doctor, but it's just somebody in the game that has obviously gone through this with other people before.
He's giving you some informed
capacity.
Speculation more than we have. I get it.
It's informed speculation. Take it what you want.
I could appreciate it. Listen, anything. He's a doctor, I'm assuming, or some sort of medical personnel or a baseball person.
He
knows more than we do.
Yeah.
So I'm open to information.
Or at least more familiar with the behind the scenes stuff than maybe we are.
Okay. Now, let's say if it does require Tommy John surgery, is there a way to piece together a season since it's his non-throwing, meaning hitting and running?
I would doubt that at this point.
Now, I wouldn't rule it out entirely.
Well, let me ask you,
though, could be a partial tear.
If there has to be surgery on a UCL, what like that's not Tommy John? Like I don't know what I don't know.
There's a partial tear and there's a full tear.
And Tommy John is for a full tear.
Well, when I had mine, they didn't know. And Dr. Olchek, the former Mets doctor, actually did it for me at HSS. So I remember going in And they said, and before they did the anesthesia, they said, you could be opening your eyes in an hour,
yeah,
or it could be 5 hours. And I actually remember, and they explained the difference. Yeah. You know, obviously an hour is better, yeah, 5 hours not good. I remember opening up my eyes, like, I think they injected or with the anesthesia, like, six. I remember opening my eyes, like, 3 p.m, and I swear, I remember looking at the clock, all hazy and fuzzy, and saying to myself, I'm screwed. And then getting zonked back out.
Because
I knew, I'm like, I just deduced, like, I looked at the time, I'm like, not good, boom, back to bed, basically. But that was my throwing arm. But the point being, they didn't know until they went in there.
But is UCL Tommy John? Like,
oh, yeah, UCL is definitely Tommy John. So but there's full tears and there's partial tears. Tanaka had a partial tear.
Well, that's what I mean. So maybe that's the case where there was talk at the time. So you were saying, well, you don't know why there would be Tommy John on a non-throwing arm. But if it's the UCL.
No, not that I. You know, the
that's
not,
what confused me.
I'm gotcha. Sorry. The non-throwing ligament can still fully rupture and snap in your non-throwing arm. Right. It's just very uncommon. Like, right. Why would it snap? You didn't throw anything,
okay, but
unless it was blunt force trauma,
now,
which it was.
Now, with Tanaka, there was talk at the time.
Correct.
He's going to eventually have to have the surgery.
Yep.
But he could also pitch through it, which he clearly did. He didn't want to have the surgery, and he pitched through it, which at the time we didn't know. So is that what we're talking about here, where he could play through it? And if Tanaka could pitch through it, then certainly you would think at some point Jazz could play through
it. I think that's a distinct possibility. And the other thing, let's say, you know, they for a pitcher, obviously 12 months, you know, 12 to 14 months, position player a little bit different like Dominguez. But I think if he does need reconstructive surgery on the UCL, meaning full transplant, right, ligament transplant, I would think that he could come back. I mean, let's say he has the surgery September 1st.
Right.
Swelling goes down. You have to wait for that nonsense. You know, can't operate till the so surgery September 1, September, October, November, December, January, February. I would think because he's a non-pitcher and it's his non-throwing arm, I think he'd be fine by opening day. I don't think it would be the lengthy Tommy John surgery timetable.
Right, but forget about opening day.
Well, I'm just trying to look at everything.
By the way, Otani had it and is still playing. Obviously,
yeah,
he's
but
not
when
pitching.
Did he have it?
Yeah. Well, didn't he have it last year?
Yeah, Bryce Harper had it too. Yeah. He came back and played first base. Right.
So, I mean, I'm not worried about next year. I'm worried about now.
No, so am I. I'm just kind of examining it from every angle.
Right.
I do think that if it's a partial tear, he could definitely play. No doubt.
But I think,
Tanaka pitched with a partial tear, as we said.
I think the point is...
I don't think he could play if it's fully ruptured.
The reason...
Even though it's his left
point
arm.
Point is, the reason for the delay or unknown at this point is probably because... Probably. Again, I have no idea. Because they're weighing the options.
Surgical options.
Seeing if there's any way where they could avoid shutting him down for the year.
It's definitely trending 100%. That's what I said last hour. To me, this is definitely trending much more negatively than positively. The longer you go,
man,
the
sucks.
Murkier it is. Like, we don't know what we have. We might have to do this. Maybe we find out more if we operate. I don't think it's going in the right direction. That doesn't mean it's the most ominous situation. But it's definitely not the most favorable, in my opinion.
And it's just terrible where, you know, the Yankees clearly need Jazz. They needed more. I would argue they needed more. But if they lose him for the season, that's going to be a tough blow to recover from.
I think it will be an unrecoverable blow unless Dominguez comes back and really is that guy.
All right, that does it for us. We'll be back again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Thanks to everybody who listened, everybody who called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove and Hoff as well. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.